that those that are in these mountains, when the kingdom of God is established at the top of the mountain, the people will flow into it. Come on, somebody. We need the kingdom of God established in the mountain of religion. We need the kingdom of God established in the mountain of family, the mountain of education. We need the kingdom of God established in the mountain of government, the mountain of media, arts and entertainment, as well as business. Because these are the mountains that influence culture. They influence how we dress. Come on, somebody. They influence what we talk about. They influence what we deem to be normal. And that's why a lot of things they deem to be normal is actually crazy. Because we have not established the kingdom of God in each one of these mountains. Nudge your neighbor and tell them that we got to establish the kingdom of God in all seven mountains. Well, praise the name of the Lord. One more thing that I want to make sure I mention as part of the announcements that I didn't hear. I don't think anyway. Maybe we did. But on May 31st through June the 3rd, there's the Days of Heaven on Earth Conference at Apostle Precious Awuzie's church in Madison, Illinois. Here's the flyer there. And I'm going to be ministering there on Thursday morning, a Friday morning, should I say, and also a Friday afternoon. On a Monday, a Thursday afternoon, a Thursday morning, and Friday night. No, that's not right either. Saturday night and Friday afternoon. That's it. So Friday afternoon, I'll be ministering there or doing some teaching. And Saturday night, I will be the main speaker that night. Saturday night, which is June the 2nd. So I'll be there June 1st and June 2nd, ministering the word of God there. So I believe the address is there. You can see it there. Plug that into your MapQuest or whatever, and you can get directions there. It's going to be a awesome high time. I believe Apostle Garner is going to be that Friday night. He and I both will be teaching Friday afternoon. He's going to minister Friday night, and I'm going to minister Saturday night. And another one of my friends, Apostle Earl Grissom out of Missouri, he's going to be ministering that Sunday night. Amen. Well, I want to get directly into the Word of God. I know time is of the essence. We've had a great time in praise and worship. Great time hearing the prophetic Word of God released in the house of God. How many take the prophetic Word as a word that you need to apply to your own life? Is everybody tracking me yet? I see people still got their heads down. I'm trying to minister to you. How many recognize that when the prophetic word is released, you need to take that prophetic word and take ownership of it? Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us that when the word of God is released, it needs to be applied to our lives. Because we cannot allow, own what we don't apply. We cannot own what we don't apply. Well, let's get directly into the word of God. The imagination jumpstarts our faith. I want to start off today in the book of St. Luke chapter 6 and verse 44. St. Luke chapter 6 and verse 44. What a bloody murder out there, ain't it? Somebody getting killed out there? Yeah, go help them out there. Give them some candy or something. We recording now. Are you in Luke chapter 6, verse 44? Say amen. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. We've talked about this a little in the past, and I want to make sure that I reiterate the fact of what the heart is. When we talk about the heart, we're talking about, amen, it's the word cardia in the Greek, and it means thoughts or feelings. Amen. So out of good thoughts or good feelings, a good man brings forth good fruit. But out of bad thoughts or evil feelings, evil people bring forth evil fruit. The main thing that I want to bring to your attention today is that we need to take time to build good imaginations, good thoughts and feelings to bring forth good fruit. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, faith needs the imagination in order to jumpstart into having our desires fulfilled. If there are no imaginations, then there is no substance of faith to bring forth desires. What I'm trying to tell you is that the enemy is trying to kill your imagination. He's trying to kill your desires. He's trying to kill your dreams. He's trying to kill everything that causes you to keep moving forward. I believe that one of the main reasons why we have a people who are getting to the point where they're giving up on everything is because they're losing the ability to imagine great things. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, say, you still got to imagine great things. The Bible tells us God, he wants to give us more than we can ask or think. God wants you to give you more than you can ask or think, and we don't even spend time imagining. We don't take time thinking. So in other words, God is looking over your life and he's weighing your imaginations. And he's saying, I'm going to give you more than you can ask or think. And the enemy has already taken our dreams, already taken our aspirations. The enemy has already taken our goals. The enemy has already robbed us of excitement and our futures. And so when God looks at us and finds that there are no dreams and no imaginations, there is nothing for him to give us. Because he wants to give us more than we can ask or imagine. Problem is, the enemy is stolen our imagination. So what is nothing times nothing? What's nothing divided by nothing? So if we don't have imaginations, we need not think God's going to give us anything. My responsibility today is to get you back to the position where you will again begin to imagine. You will again begin to see the greatness in which God created you. You will begin to again see that God has made you fearfully and wonderfully in his image and in his likeness. I want to move you to the place where you recognize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want to bring you to the place where you recognize that if God be with you, who can be against you? I want you to dream again. I want you to see your visions again. I want you to accept your callings, your purpose again. I don't care if the last prophetic word was released over you back in 1972. Some say, I wasn't born in 72. Well, however old you are, if you came into this world in somebody's prayer line and a prophetic gift was releasing words over your mama's belly or your first day of life, whatever that prophetic word was or is, I believe the Lord is wanting us to fight with the prophetic words that have been released over our lives. This is what Apostle Paul told his spiritual son Timothy. You got to endure and fight with the prophecies that have gone on over your life. Some of you don't recognize that the way you fight is actually to begin to engage a thing in your imagination. And when the enemy begins to speak against whatever it is that God has ordained for your life, the vision and the imagination will supersede the lie that the enemy has been releasing against you. Some of you don't recognize how you got to fight in the realm of the spirit. You need to hold on to something and begin to contend with it. You got to prophesy it. You got to decree it. You got to put it on paper. Amen. Like Apostle Precious says, one thing for sure, that if you put it on paper, the paper won't forget. The paper won't forget. This is a season where we got to recognize God is wanting us to utilize our imagination. Our imagination. Now, I want you to turn around and look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Again, I want to get you to the point where you will again begin to imagine. You will again begin to dream. You will again begin to see yourself greater than what it is that's going on around you. Are you there? Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Look at what it says here. The Bible tells us, it says, for as A person thinketh, second part of this particular passage, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, once again, that heart is once again the imagination. It is the place, it's the central part of the faculties of thought. If whoever owns the mind owns the individual. Whoever owns the mind owns the individual. And so you got to take time to cultivate your thought patterns, your imagination. Because again, I'm going to say it one more time, three times a charm. Whoever owns the mind owns the individual. As a person thinks in his heart, so is that person. If you imagine that you're successful, you will be successful. If you imagine that things will always be the way they are, that is exactly what will take place. It's time for you to begin to establish the word of God in your life and to utilize the imagination so that faith can put substance to the word of God in your life. If you're struggling with what you desire, you got to get to the point where you get to the word of God and find out what God has promised you. What has God promised you? God has promised you health and healing. God has promised you prosperity. God has promised you deliverance. There are so many things that God has promised us, and the enemy has robbed us of the capability of being able to put substance to those things the word of God promises. Our imagination does that thing. So as you think in your heart, so are you. Last scripture I want to cover right here in the beginning before I get into the meat of this comes from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Amen. You know, wherever I go, I can always tell what type of a house of God I'm ministering in by how the people respond when scriptures are read off. When you're in a house of God that's a teaching ministry, the people put out their papers and they start writing. When it's a house of God that is exclusively preaching, the people just edge up to the edge of their seats and grin because they're ready to jump and shout. My goal is that this house will be somewhat balanced. But for the most part, it's meant to be a teaching place. It needs to be a place where you can take notes and then take the word of God home and do your own word studies. You know what I'm talking about? But when we find that people are more interested in being entertained, they don't want to study. They just want to be entertained. You don't want nutritious food. You want something that's going to give you an energy burst right away. You don't want fruits and vegetables. You want a Snickers. Amen. So the word of God can be delivered like a Snicker, or the word of God can be delivered like steak and potatoes. It takes a little bit longer for the steak and potatoes to digest, but guess what? It will actually bring nourishment and healing to the body. The Snicker will bring you instantaneous energy, but won't bring any nutrition or health to the body. I want to get you to the point where you're used to the word of God that will actually bring nutrition, amen, to your spiritual man. Hallelujah. We don't want to be walking around like Urkel in the realm of the spirit, because we're not taking time to eat the word of God. Are you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? All right, let's look at it. Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. My God, that'll preach all by itself. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We walk by and not by. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal or temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So it's important for us to walk by faith and not by sight. It's important for us to understand that God has given us the ability to use the imagination to write out the script of our future. God has given us our imagination for the purpose of writing the script for our future. If you don't have an imagination, you're a robot. Oh, let me preach at you here. We have an imagination, and that's what gives us the title of human. It's what gives us the ability to know we've been made in the image and likeness of God. When God saw the world and it was dark and void, his imagination kicked in. Come on, somebody. And he said, let there be what? Light. Even though there was no light anywhere. Yeah. Made in God's image and likeness, we're called also to speak, come on, somebody, as God spoke. So God had a world that was dark, void, and without form. And many of us have lives that are dark, void, and without form. But God has given us a method to bring light to darkness. Oh, I don't hear you hear me. God has given us a method to bring form to formlessness. God has given us this, and he tells us, according to the book of Hebrews, he says that things that were created from things that don't exist. So when he spoke light, light was nowhere. He spoke it into existence by creating it in the imagination of his heart and releasing it and speaking it. Are y'all hearing me? Many of us today are struggling because the enemy has stolen our ability to use our imagination for creativity. When we were young children, we played with imaginary men. I remember years ago when I got my first Green Army set. They don't even make them things no more. How many remember that? Some of y'all remember those. Come in a plastic bag, right? You set them up on this side, you set them up on this side, and this guy's blowing up, and you come kick over a bunch of them. Ooh, boy, you said, man, y'all got destroyed. We used our imagination. But the older we get, the more they tell us that if we use our imagination, we're crazy. This is the God of this world robbing us of creativity. Once he strips you of the ability to use your imagination, then you will walk in what has been given to you instead of using your imagination to supersede what you currently have, that what you desire will begin to become the norm and what is relative. Are y'all following? Y'all make sure y'all get these CDs. Y'all get the CDs. I see now that this is going over some of your head. I want you to get to the point where you recognize that you got to spend some time at home just meditating, just using your imagination. You got to look at your checking account. Amen. It might say a negative 200, but you got to look at that checking account until you see, amen, a positive 2,000. Are y'all hearing me? This is important. This is important. We have to utilize our imagination. We don't look at the things which are seen, but we got to learn to look at the things which are not seen. Because the things that are seen are just temporary. But the things that aren't seen are eternal. In other words, you got to use what's eternal to supersede what is temporal. Things that are eternal are meant to override, overrule, and supersede things that currently are. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ says you got to learn how to call those things that be not as though they were. So even though it is not, you speak it as if it is. Because when you speak it as if it is, then what happens is what is then becomes superseded by what you have spoken. Are y'all hearing me? The Lord didn't settle for a dark world, void and without form. He began to use his imagination and begin to speak. Some of you are locked in your jobs because you can't see yourself beyond that place. Some of you are stuck in financial dire straits because you cannot imagine beyond that particular place. Whoever owns the mind owns the man. Are y'all following me? My goal again is to get you dreaming again and get you using your imagination again. You're worried about your education. God is worried about your imagination. Oh, you better get that. You're worried about your education. God is worried about your imagination. All things are possible. Come on, somebody. To them that what? To them that can imagine. Ooh, you didn't hear what I said. All things are possible to those that can imagine. What do you think belief is? Belief is nothing more than an imagination. I've got to use my imagination to believe. And to those that use their imagination to believe, all things are possible. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We walk by the eternal, not by the temporal. We understand what the promises of God are. And they say, amen. Everything in him is what? Yea and amen. In other words, if you find the scripture that says it, you can believe it because God has established it. So now, what is it that I walk by? I walk by the word of God, which is what? Eternal. Forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. Every jot, every tittle shall be established before you come back. If I find a scripture that agrees with the desire of my heart, I can stand flat-footed on it and imagine it until that word begins to supersede my current situation. Somebody touch your neighbor and tell them, say, amen. I got to use my imagination. Oh, I'm going to stir somebody up. Now, they may look at you a little strange when you zone out and you begin to see yourself walking as part of the Fortune 500 company. They might look at you strange when you are imagining yourself in that new house, that new automobile. They may look at you strange when they begin to see you walking amongst the dignitaries. But don't you worry, because in just a moment of time, the eternal is going to begin to supersede the temporal. It's just a moment of time before what God has promised begins to supersede what the devil done delivered. It's a time for the people of God to recognize we walk by faith and not by sight. It's time to reverse the strategies of the enemy. It's time to reverse the tactics of the enemy. It's time to reverse the images that the enemy has placed upon our imagination to hold us captive to our past. Many of us are walking in our past because the enemy has stamped our past on our imagination. The imagination is the blank canvas of your life. Your imagination is the blank canvas of your life. Whatever it is that you can put on that canvas is what you will be. And the enemy is trying to hold you locked into that divorce. The enemy is trying to hold you locked into that abortion. The enemy is trying to hold you locked into that bankruptcy, that repossession, that traumatic event. But Apostle Paul says, one thing have I done, forgetting all of the things of the past, that I may press forward into the high calling that be of Christ Jesus. In other words, he uses his imagination to be able to create substance to the word of God. And that begins to pave the way to his future. Are y'all following me here? So it's important for us now to recognize the enemy through circumstances, through things that are temporal, trying to guide us in the wrong direction and rob us of any level of utilizing our imagination. So you got people talking about you on the job. You got bankruptcies. You got more bills than you have money. If you're not careful, you'll start looking at those things, come on somebody, more so than the promises of God, which are yea and amen. When you look at the promises of God and you begin to utilize your imagination, your faith then will begin to create substance to the word of God in your life. Many of us read the word of God like a commercial of your favorite movie. You can't even remember the commercials. You can't wait to see, amen, for those that are watching the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals, you don't want no commercials. You just want the game. And many of us read the Word of God like that. But we don't recognize the Word of God is necessary for the purpose of creating substance in our lives. When I take the Word of God and I meditate on the Word of God, eventually what happens is my imagination kicks in faith. And faith begins to shape my imagination. Are y'all following with me? So when I imagine Isaiah chapter 53, he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my, oh God, the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I'm healed. When I take that scripture and I begin to meditate on it, I say it over and over and over. What begins to happen is my faith begins to put healing to my body, because that's what the word of God says. My imagination sees, amen, my high blood pressure going down. And my faith, amen, and my imagination begins to see my arthritic conditions beginning to subside. My back pain, come on somebody, migraine headaches, whatever it is I need healing of, my imagination picks it up and my faith begins to put, amen, material to it to make it real. And the enemy spends a tireless amount of time convincing us that we don't even need to read the word. You'll be surprised what the word of God will do for you when you employ the imagination. But to employ the imagination without the word of God will cause you to be stabbing in the dark. Are y'all trafficking with me? If you don't want to be stabbing in the dark, you will take that word and you will apply it to your spirit and you'll begin to move forward. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Here's a particular passage that most times we utilize it for the purpose of talking about the prophetic. I'm going to use it a different way this time. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And then I'm going to fast forward to the bottom of my message and we'll go back over some things that I want to share on next week. Joel chapter 2, verses 28. And it shall come to pass afterward. Somebody shout afterward.
Afterward.
Now that should put a giant question mark. What in the world is afterwards? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. What I want you to recognize is, as I said before, we often see this particular passage in regards to the preaching or teaching of prophecy. But what I want you to see is that this afterward is about sight. Nudge your neighbor and say, this afterward is about sight. It's about sight. How do we know that it's about sight? We know that it's about sight because there are some words here that I want you to see. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall what? Your old men shall what? And your young men shall what? So we got some things we got to deal with here. So this afterward is about prophecy, it's about dreams, and about visions. All of these are instruments of sight, or the establishment of seeing things that cannot be seen through natural terms. When we talk about the afterward, this is the afterwards of the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, where he poured out his spirit. The whole thing about Pentecost is about sight. Oh, I got you quiet now. So the whole thing about receiving of God's spirit is so that you will have sight beyond what you can see naturally. The sight that comes from the outpouring of the spirit and the internalization of the spirit gives you the power to prophesy, gives you the power to dream, come on, and the power to see visions. In other words, it allows you to see your life from a perspective that is not tangible. What does that mean? That means God gives you creative authority and power to orchestrate your future. Do you recognize that this sight was necessary and is necessary to see your past, to see your future? You need sight. The imagination is what gives you the right to be able to see your past now. You talk about your memory. Amen. Your memory still needs imagination. Because your memory puts your past up on the imagination so that you can see it. Your future, which has never taken place, your imagination has the power to create it. Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
So when we start finding people wandering aimlessly, it is because we're dealing with people without an imagination. The enemy, he wants to rob you of your imagination. Do you recognize that if you're ripped and stripped of your imagination, then you can go no further than where you are? And we wonder, why is it my life is not changing? Why is it that my life is not progressing? It is because you have not utilized your imagination to see beyond where you currently are. When I think about those that are struggling and strapped and looking to receive different types of assistance, and I come up in a season where I had to have assistance. But my vision and my dreams, I was able to see where I wanted to go. And when I put that before me, I kept my mind on it instead of the circumstances that were around me. And I allowed my faith to create substance to the things that I was holding in my imagination and in my mind. And the Lord today is telling you that you've got to do the same thing. Some of you are here in college. You got to see yourself walking across the stage with that tassel on the right side, walking across to get your degree. Amen. Those of you that are desiring to get married, you got to see yourself, hallelujah, coming to the place where you can begin, amen, to present yourself to that woman or for that man. Are y'all hearing me? Let me give you something more simple. When we start talking about marriage, and I'm going to start talking about this pretty quickly, because I recognize that there are a lot of things that are hitting the marriages today. The Bible says, he that obtains a wife. Come on, how many know that? What happens to them? They obtain favor for the Lord. My issue is, if I am to obtain a wife, he that finds a wife finds it. Whose wife? If she's a wife when I find her, whose wife is she? Who do I have to strip of their wife? Think about that. In the context of the imagination, God is dealing with women. Because he that finds a wife, that means that woman must see herself as a wife before she becomes a wife. I'm pushing a button right here now. She has to be a wife before she actually is married. She has to dress like a wife. She has to behave like a wife. And I can tell you right now, society and culture will tell you if you're doing it right or wrong. Let me tell you how. When you have the glory of the Lord on you, and you're walking as a woman chaste, looking to be married, walking as a wife, the hood rats don't want you. Let me make it real to you. Hood rats don't want you. Too much work. I'm trying to help my daughters here. You too much work. I got to go to church with you. You ain't gonna let me come over. He that finds a daughters in your mind, you can't be dressed like one of these women on one of these magazines. I ain't gonna mention the magazine. They normally at the checkout when you check out, you know. They have some of their clothes and the rest they leave at home. You gotta utilize your imagination. Daughters, what is a wife? How does a wife talk? How does a wife dress? How does a wife govern herself? What places would a woman that is married, what kind of places would she go? Instead, the world has told women that you need to dress skimpy. You need to hang out at the club. You need to be loud and abrasive. When the Bible says that a man's going to find a wife, in other words, when he sees her, he's going to see all the characteristics of a wife before she's married to her. Am I making sense here? Now, why can I make this claim? Because I'm a man. And when I found my wife sitting right there, I was looking for a woman that wouldn't need a whole bunch of changing to be a wife. Are y'all hearing me? And I'm telling you, a woman is not looking to marry a man that's going to have to go through a whole lot of changes to be a husband. I got to break him of hanging out with his friends. I got to break him of just that and the other. Lord, he's just too much work. So I had to also see myself as a husband. My imagination. What does a husband do? What does a wife do? Every day you use your imagination and don't know it. Tonight, before you lay your head down and go to bed, you're going to be thinking about what you're going to put on tomorrow morning before you go to work. You're going to use your imagination. You're going to start thinking about your breakfast. What are you going to say? Okay, I got plenty of milk. Oh, I don't have cereal. You're going to use your imagination to recognize that before it's too late, you're going to run down to Shop and Save, get you some cereal to go with that milk you're going to have in the morning. You do this all the time. I'm just trying to get you to use it from a scriptural perspective so that you will have a future that you will desire. Amen. Have you got that? So now, I'm going to cover on next week prophecy, dreams, and visions, and how these are sight instruments that are necessary for us to address our future. This makes sense? Oh, this is good stuff, man. I'm trying to tell you. I'm prophesying right now over you that your life is about to change because you're now understanding the importance of imagination and dreaming. I speak over your life now that every dark cloud that has been setting over your life in finances, in health, and over your family, today I decree and declare that there was an east wind of the Lord that is blowing away those dark clouds and that there is now a sun shining. Who is the sun? The sun is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he is a light unto the world. And that light is the life of men. Today I prophesy over you that the dark clouds have lifted and the sun, the light is now shining on your life and granting new life. I speak over you now that there is life in your purpose. There's life in your calling. There is life in your assignment. There is life over your family. There is life over your business. There is life over your health. I prophesy and decree that there is a breakthrough that has taken place in your life today. Come on, rest to your feet. And lift your hands in the air. I hear the Lord saying today that some of you need your imagination freed. You need your imagination free. Can you lift your hands in the air and say, Lord Jesus Christ, free my imagination. Say, help me to use my imagination to plan my future. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to draw upon the canvas of my imagination that my future might be sure. Now today, lift your hands up high. Close your eyes. What's important to you today? Is it your health? What's important today? Is it your family? What's important today? Is it your job? You gotta see the expected end before you can obtain it. You can have what you see. And today, the Lord is stretching you. And he's telling you that in the process of praying, in the process of reading your word, engage your imagination. Because God wants to give you more than you can ask or think. Faith is the substance of the things that you put in your imagination. Faith is the substance of things that are added to your imagination. Today the Lord says, dare to believe. He says, whatsoever things that you pray, believing. Whatever things that you pray that you can place on your imagination and expect it, you shall have whatsoever thing that you ask for. Today, give the Lord about 2 minutes to begin to articulate what's in your imagination right now. If there's a new house, a new car, if there's a husband, a wife, if there's a promotion, a business, right now I want you to begin to speak those things that be not as though they were. All over the room, lift up your voice right now and begin to prophesy, because you have to understand the Bible tells us that when we pray, we must say. And as a person thinks, so is he. The book of Romans also tells us that we that have the same spirit of faith believe, and therefore shall we speak. Whatever you speak is what you believe in, and you cannot think this thing. You got to speak it. Come on, all over the room, just give God about 2 minutes to begin to address those areas of your life that you're falling short in. Utilize your imagination and speak what it is you see. Speak what it is you see. Come on, if you see a business, come on, begin to speak it. I've got a Fortune 500 business. If it's a husband or wife, come on, begin to speak it. If it's now a financial turnaround, come on, open your mouth and speak it. I believe. Come on, open your mouth and prophesy right now. Use your imagination. I hear the Lord say, I'm here as the potter. You are the clay. And I'm going to put fashion. I'm going to put form unto what you use your imagination to create or build. Speak to the wind, saith the Lord. Speak. Speak to your business. Speak over your family. Speak over your job. Speak over your finances. It's the season for breakthrough. Come on, open your mouth and prophesy. Yes. 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 Oh, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, you're not stuck anymore. You're not stuck anymore. Your spirit is free. You're free to be creative. You're free to be creative. For those of you that feel like you've been stuck. You have not been able to see beyond where you currently are. You're struggling with your dreams. You have no vision for your future. Everything just seems to be as it is, mundane and dogmatic. I want you to come down to the altar today. We're going to have some people pray for you, anoint you with oil. I believe that today your visions are going to be free. I believe today that your dreams are going to come back. I believe that today you're going to once again begin to prophesy. Prophesy means you're able to articulate where you're going, even though you're in a place that's not in agreement with where you desire to go. I want you to come to the altar real quick where my leader's at.